anyway, all that we talked about is as Paul says, we labor, we toil in vain unless Jesus rose from the dead. And that is our hope. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, Paul says we're to be pitied among all people. You know, why? Why do we pour ourselves out this way? Why do we put our lives at risk, our reputations at risk? You know, why do we not pursue, why not eat, drink, and be merry, you know? But our hope is because we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and life. And he, whoever believes in him, even though he died, he will live. Even though he dies physically. And so it is for the hope of resurrection that we engage in this partnership in the gospel to bring the hope that the grave is not the end, that there is hope beyond the grave. It is for that eternal hope that we labor and give and invest our lives and our hearts sacrificially for God's kingdom. And so we're going to, John 11 is the resurrection of Lazarus. Many of you are familiar with that. And there what you see is a grave similar to where Lazarus might have been buried in. And you can follow if you want. I have the text also on the screen, and I'm going to walk through. It's a long passage, so I'm going to walk through and summarize portions of it as well. Whatever works. But what I want to say is this, is that what happens in this story is quite interesting. And you have to understand some family dynamics. And the family dynamics is that Jesus is very close to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Okay? He's very close. Now remember, Jesus said, even the Son of Man, even I don't have a place to lay my head. Jesus is home. Alright? And so, when he traveled, he depended upon the hospitality of others. And when he was in Bethany in Jerusalem, his place, his home, was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That was his home away from home. That's where he laid his head. And he loved them, they loved him as well. And keep in mind that Jesus redefined family. You know, when he says, Jesus, in teaching the crowds, your mother and brothers are outside. They want to speak to you. And actually, they came to seize Jesus because he was creating so much controversy. He was under investigation by the religious leaders, and they felt he was maybe starting to go off the deep end and claiming that he's the Messiah or making these claims. And so the text says they came to seize him, and Jesus would not even go out to greet his mother and his brothers. And he said, you want to know who my mother and brothers are? Here, you're my mother, you're my brother, you're my sister. Those that are in the family of God are my family. And what he's saying is that our spiritual bonds are tighter, more significant than even our bloodline. That's my family. Jesus honored his mother and family. That's another story for another sermon. But my point is that Jesus' family is our brothers and sisters in Christ. Family is fathers and mothers in Christ. Those that are older. And so when family comes and says we need help, what does family do? Okay? You know what? You don't. A lot of your fathers, your grandfathers, grandmothers, you know, family calls for help. You respond, especially if it's a crisis, emergency. The children expect that. Children expect that as well in family. That's the way families operate. Let me see the next slide. This is my family. That's my mother, and my mother lived with us for the last 5 years of her life. And this is the last year, the year before she died, her passing. And that was family, and mom was family. And God had set us up so that we could care for her in our home. It wasn't easy, and it had a lot of challenges, but there were great rewards as well. And that's also part of family, is caring for our parents, especially as they need help. She was handicapped at the time. That's my dog, Cookie. My wife, Michelle, Sam and Dan, Sarah. I love them. Sorry they can't be here. We have three teenagers and just running all over the place, and so some of you can relate. So, but we did enjoy coming up last summer for the 50th anniversary of the community. But I urge, let's go on. So when family, when there's a crisis, what does family do?
They
respond. They come. They help. Now, what happens in the story here is that Mary and Martha send a message to Jesus. See, our brother, Lazarus, you know, you love Lazarus, you know, he's really sick. He needs your help. Come, please come. And you expect family, you know, they come immediately, right? Jesus doesn't come immediately. Matter of fact, he didn't come the same day, same hour, same day, not that night, not the next morning. It's like 2 whole minutes before he starts making the journey to Bethany. And he arrives there, and as you can imagine, people are confused. Like, this is family. Why did you wait so long? Because Lazarus had already died. Mary, Martha, he said, Jesus, if you had been here, I don't think Lazarus would have died. Right? If you had been here, why were you here? The onlookers say, look, Jesus cured a blind man. He can cure a blind man. Why couldn't he have kept Lazarus alive? And so Jesus arrives in the midst of wailing and weeping and sadness, tears. And it's a very, very mournful scene. And as Jesus engages Mary and Martha, Martha says, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And he who lives, who you believe in me will live and never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And Martha talks about the resurrection of the dead and the life of eternal. But his question to Martha is critical. He who believes in me, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. Do you believe this? Martha, do we believe this? Message is for us as well. Do you believe this? Do you believe? So what is Jesus doing? Get a little hint, all right? Why he delayed. But still, like, it's too late. It's too late because Lazarus has been dead for not 4 days. 4 days. Now, occasionally in the Bible, you see miracles, okay? Elijah, people, prophets, great prophets, raised from the dead. But in Jewish understanding, once you pass 4 days, that's totally impossible. Because what happens on day 4 is the soul departs from the body. That's the Jewish understanding, okay? That's how they perceive this. And so Jesus arrives at the point, 4 days, it's absolutely impossible that Jesus did not even heal him, take him from the pain of going through death and all that weeping and wailing, sadness and sorrow, but he waits so long that it's even beyond the point of possibility that a great prophet could raise him from the dead. Alright? Because it's beyond 4 days. It's never going to happen. Alright? It's impossible. And what does Jesus do? Let's do the next slide here, super again. Jesus is still angry, you know. So basically, let's talk about this. When Jesus saw the wreckage, says Jesus wept. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible. And Jesus, it literally says his insides just kind of turned over. He was angry. He was angry bitterness. Grieving bitterness. This grieving bitterness is anger at the wreckage, the carnage that death caused, the separation, the pain, the agony, both the physical but also the relational. tragedy. He's very, very angry. And the text says, and while he was still angry, he came over and brought the tomb, and Gabriel waved aside. Jesus said, Martha said, the dead man's sister prevents him. He's been 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Next slide. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave cloth, and his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him.
I gotta figure out that one.
Let him go. Why did Jesus wait? Okay, why did Jesus wait? Why does Jesus wait? You know, we cry out to God. God, you know, I don't know. Some of us have cried out to God a lot. I know some of you, you feel like you're at the end, like you don't have strength. I was with 4 hours with a woman who's involved in a domestic violence crisis, a student, an alumni, and the father's trying to take the child away from her through the courts. And she's been crying out to God for 2 years, and longer than that, in the marriage, where she was assaulted, raided, abused. She's been crying to you. Why don't you answer? Where I say to the pastor, I don't know. She still has a child now, but there's this constant fear that the husband's going to manipulate the courts and the child completely around. Some of you have prayed, God, there's this awful disease, sickness, mental, physical, whatever. Said, Lord, if you'd been here, if you'd just come, like, this would have never happened. You've been healed out of people. Like, couldn't you heal my son, my daughter, my mother, my father? Why do you not answer? Why? And the truth is, I do not know. I don't know. None of us know why. But we do know that if we believe, we will see God's glory. Whether this life or life eternal. It could be for a greater purpose, even if we can't see it in this life. And here, what is Jesus doing? Next slide, the fifth slide. There's mom. I think what Jesus is doing is that this is 2 years. Mom died. He grabbed her lunch for her birthday. And is that he allowed death for Lazarus to bring a greater deliverance. And the greater deliverance is to deliver us, not just family, all together, but us too, from the fear of death. Okay? Fear of death. Death has lost its sting, it says, because Jesus rose from the dead. And because he showed his authority over life and death, though death is agonizing, we need not be afraid. We need not be afraid, because the grave is not the final destination. There's hope after the grave. The grave has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The resurrection takes away this feasting, this sting of death. And it takes away fear. And what I just want to say is this. Like, I would say, I told you that part of being a family member is caring for your elderly parents, and by God's grace, we were able to do that. It's very hard. It's another story. But part of that experience for me was I needed to see God's glory through that. Because, and mom lived with us. She used to watch TV, but right around year three or year four, she stopped. And all she did was pray and read her Bible. And she found joy. And one morning I came down and she said, I had the most wonderful dream last night. Most wonderful dream that Jesus came. And he said, he's going to take me home with himself. He's not afraid of death. He's not afraid of death. He's for God's glory. I just thought of another story. Peter and Mimi inspired me to care for mom in heart because they cared for their own parents. You know them. When students would come, they'd bring the whole family of students, and Mimi's mother would participate and laugh and share the games, the heart games, the meals. And if you know something about this, by the way, elderly people are rock stars, celebrities in international culture. Like when we did Christmas night, my mother stayed up till midnight because there's great respect and great deference, which is biblical. The Bible says we rise in the presence of the elder. Alright? But what they noticed is this. I remember distinctively a lady from Kazakhstan, and she said, the people in my country, when they are like this physically falling apart, they're very depressed. But yet Mimi's mother was very joyful and happy. And even as her health was failing, it gave glory to God. There's something supernatural that if you became a believer and followed Jesus, we believe. There's something in her daughter too. There's something supernatural about when you're at the end and you're falling apart physically, you can't care for yourself, and yet you have joy and love. The greater deliverance here is Jesus delivered Lazarus, Mary, Martha, he gathers and delivers us from the fear of death, and replaces it with hope after the grave. Eternal hope. And it was for the glory of God. God was glorified through Peter and Mimi's mother. He's glorified through my mother. Because I saw her joy. I don't fear death falling apart. I do some ways now, you know, because I'm used to being too strong at it, you know. But that's my own issue. But I have confidence that I would follow footsteps of people at the end of life. Find hope and joy in Christ, an eternal home. We need not fear death. That's, I believe, why Jesus is waiting. And that's why he waits sometimes. We cry out, he does not answer. Sometimes, I won't say all the time, but often, always in the end, in some way or another, it's for redemptive purpose. God wants to do a greater deliverance. And we may not see it this side of eternity, but one day we will see it. I don't mean to minimize the pain. It's very real. But God, His nature is to redeem, to rescue, that He's absolutely redeeming. Next slide. There's mom. And that's another hope. Every year, I attend a veteran's cemetery in the Marine. He died. 25 years, prayed every Christmas when I wanted to put a wreath there. And I remember those times, they were deeply significant. Sometimes I'd read the kids and mom and I go along, but there was something similar about this sense of separation, that, you know, somberness, but the sense of prayer. The prayer I remember is, may we all be together in heaven. See, that took away this thing of death, too. That she knew it wasn't the end, that she would see my dad again. That made her long for a heavenly home even more. In the slideshow, I'm going to read this to you. This is my Facebook post. Just look it up real quick. But when mom died, I wrote this. Mom entered, this was 2 years ago, into the full presence of
Jesus on Saturday, November 19th. We grieve, but not with despair. I'm sorry, I didn't plan this. We cling to happy memories, particularly those shared during the last 5 years you've lived with us. We find peace knowing Mom now lives in a far better home, secure in the loving arms of our great shepherd. She's experiencing tender care and love beyond what we can think or imagine. A glorious homecoming awaits. We'll be reunited together again, but this time fully present with Jesus. God provides us this comforting home in Scripture. Where, oh, where, death is your victory? Through Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, death lost its sting. We have hope. Beyond the grave, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, whoever believes in me, will live, even though he dies. Do you believe? Jesus wants us to believe. So that we will hope beyond this world. That we will focus on eternal realities and not temporal. He says this, set your hearts up on things that are above, or what is an unseen thing, or what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Unseen, eternal hope manifested in Jesus' resurrection from Lazarus from the dead. Think of his accomplishment in all of us. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you're the resurrection of life, that there's hope beyond the grave. Forgive us, God, for being so focused on seeing things and materialism and temporal concerns. God, you say even the troubles we face are not worth it to be compared for the glory that will be revealed when Christ comes. And so, God, we pray, Lord, that we will find joy and peace in the eternal realities and in the midst of our groaning in this world, many troubles, but take heart, you say, because I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus, that in you there is victory, that you have defeated death in the grave. We honor you, and you say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive glory, honor, and power, and dominion now and forevermore.